Item is approved, 5-2. Item 2, please.
From Intergovernmental Relations Staff, 2013 Legislative Updates. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Ms. Kuhn. You can go in any order you wish.
Well, should we go through the Assembly Bill 85 first?
Sure.
Patty handed out the engrossed bill, I believe? No, okay. We handed out the amendment that passed in the Senate. Second amendment that passed in the Senate, the engrossed bill is coming around. The chair asked us to go through quickly what actually happened. So in the Assembly, obviously, there were three amendments that passed. The first amendment changed the bill to exclude Dane County from several of most of the provisions in the bill. The second amendment changed a couple of things. One was to remove the word exclusively, something that we had spoke with Representative Sanfilippo about in regard to changes he discussed with the drafter in regard to the word exclusively being placed in the statutes. So that was removed. It also changed...
Sorry, Ms. Kuhn, in what context? Exclusively in relation
wherever
to what?
The word exclusively appeared in the bill in relation to transfer of authorities and powers between the board and the county executive.
Pardon me, Mr. Chairman, could I just clarify what we're looking at? That the
we are on Assembly Amendment 2.
I'm sorry, I have Senate Amendment 3 in front of me.
Use this thing.
I can wait.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't have all the papers handed out to me yet from what you were...
So if the first sheet that probably would make the most sense for you to look at is the one that describes the history of the bill. And by the bill, I mean the Assembly version of the bill, which was the one that made it through the process.
Okay.
So Assembly Amendment 2 would have removed the word exclusively. In regard to creating the county executive having the ability to create and eliminate or modify departments or subunits of departments, they added the word funding so that if a subunit was created or a department was created or modified, the board has to approve that action as well as the funding for it. There was also an additional change in that amendment, which would have ensured the original intent of the bill through discussions with the author regarding the exclusion of health insurance and pension from the cap up until 2016, pending the referendum were to pass in 2014, that health insurance and pension would also be excluded from the cap up to 2016. It also changed the actual language regarding supervisor salaries to a dollar amount, which was also described in the per capita income, but they changed it to clarify the dollar amount that indicated. Assembly Amendment 3 was offered and passed, and what it did is it added back in the provision that the mayor of the city of Milwaukee was intended to be included on the Executive Council, which you all know as ICC. Previously, the language had suggested that unless the municipality were wholly inside the county, they would have not had a vote on the ICC, and I believe that was an oversight, so they corrected that provision. So essentially now the mayor is obviously... As you all know, the City of Milwaukee Mayor is a member of the ICC. Under the original version of the bill, the mayor would have been excluded from voting on the Executive Council. This now ensures that the mayor can vote on the Executive Council in regard to intergovernmental cooperation agreements. moving on to the Senate. The way that this works is that because the Assembly bill was the bill that was brought up in the Senate, they had to amend any provisions that were adopted in a Senate committee that were not consistent with the Assembly bill. So Senate Amendment 4, which there is a little discrepancy in the history because they just gave it the wrong number. Senate Amendment 4 was adopted And that amendment dealt with the municipal employer law. There was some question as to whether making the county executive the sole municipal employer was a concern, not for any other reason than that in all other counties and under every practice, the municipal employer is the county, not any one individual at the county. So they amended that provision in Senate Amendment 4. And Senate Amendment 3, so in your history, it looks like Senate Amendment 2 is the one that passed, but it is not the one that was amended. It was Senate Amendment 4. And there is a correction in the history that says LRB correction because they put in the wrong number. So just to confuse things, they did correct the confusion later. Senate Amendment 3 was the amendment that passed on the floor on Tuesday? Mm-hmm. Is that Tuesday? Tuesday. It contained three provisions. The first provision was to exclude rent from the cap. The second provision was to create a situation such that there are, much like your local reform, there are two positions in the IGR department that lobby at the legislative level, one serving the county executive and one serving the board. There is a small conflict, and not necessarily a conflict depending on the interpretation of the language in regard to whose interests is served. It clarifies that in the bill, but it doesn't exclude what you all passed in your local reform, which is that one position be appointed by the exec and one be appointed by the board. The last provision was creating an independent research department that can contain no more than four FTEs to serve the board and the county exec. The amendment placed that department in the comptroller's office.
Can you repeat that last part again, please?
The amendment placed the independent research department in the comptroller's office. The bill will now be sent to the governor, and generally the process is the governor either signs it or it becomes law after a certain amount of time. I believe it's, I want to say 60 days, if he doesn't actually physically sign it.
Okay. Questions from committee? No questions from committee. Everyone's been following this in great detail. Oh, comments. Questions or comments?
I simply can't help but comment.
Sure, Supervisor Broderick.
It's my hope that at least one bit of good might come out of this, and that's that at very least we will be spared the rhetorical flights of fancy by conservatives in state government in the future regarding the sacred virtues of local control.
Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman. What have you done, Supervisor Broderick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was a necessary event.
Concise. Supervisor Dmitrievich.
I just wanted to thank our staff for their hard work. It's been a long couple months, and I just wanted to thank them for their work. I wanted to thank them on the last day. You know, we were working as hard as possible to move forward with the county's adopted position on this bill, and I just wanted to publicly state that I think our staff did the best job that they could, so thank you.
I would definitely echo that. I appreciate it all. Ms. Kuhn, you can continue then.
So obviously the next major item is the budget. We will go not in detail on everything that happened in finance, but if there's something that you're interested in or you have a follow-up question, please let me know.
Do you want to do the April 3rd first or April 3rd? Okay. So why don't you just go through the ones you want to highlight and then I'll turn. Okay. We've had some success. We're very
yes.
excited.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the Joint Finance Committee has met in executive session on five occasions, and there are two sessions scheduled for next week, which I will hand out the agendas for those two sessions that are scheduled for next week. But I thought that it would be more useful to sort of just go through some of the specific provisions that affect most directly Milwaukee County. Obviously, everything potentially affects Milwaukee County since it involves around funding and programs for the entire state. Obviously, some of the big priorities that we had already set for ourselves were, of course, the transit issue, the negative debt adjustment issue, and child support. Child support is coming up next week, so there's not a lot. However, there was one bill that was passed, that motion rather, that provided that when we have a tax intercept, the first priority is for payment to the Department of Revenue, but the second is for child support payments that are in arrears. So that it set us as a number two priority in terms of where that individual money would be allocated. Pardon? And yes, that passed. One of the other things, motion that passed, was limiting the urban rail transit system, and this was specifically a bill that was addressed to the city of Milwaukee. And the motion provided that all of the utility costs would be borne by the municipality or the city that was putting in a light rail system or urban transit system. While this doesn't sound like it's going to affect Milwaukee County, there are provisions in the motion that passed that would encumber any municipality or governmental entity to have costs for utility lines or any other things that need to be changed or moved if, in fact, you're doing some sort of transit system process. And it potentially has an impact, and it also covers telecommunication, which would be fiber optics. So that's something that we have to investigate further in terms of its exact impact on Milwaukee County, but it is potentially something that we are looking at.
So just to sort of give you a process, what happens in finance is obviously that they, and the reasons why sometimes we know and don't know when meetings are going to happen, the co-chairs can call the meetings at any time. There is not necessarily an order by which they bring up issues. The co-chairs decide which issues come up when, and some of it is based on whether or not they're prepared to vote on it or whether or not the papers by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau are prepared. The bigger ticket items tend to come up at the end of the Finance Committee meetings. So that'll probably be the last week of May and or the first week of June. But as finance meets, what happens is that they present to everyone the papers for each item that's up that day. The public has access to them after the committee does, and you can look at any of those online or through the Wheeler Report. And then what happens is that motions can be made on papers that are there or papers that are not present. A lot of times the motions will come in an omnibus, so if there's a couple of issues under, let's say, the Employment Relations Department, the chairs or any of the members can choose to pass an omnibus motion. These are like amendments, but they are not amendments in that the language is never drafted at the same time. I shouldn't say never, but sometimes the language is not available. So when you hear about there being differences between the intent of a motion and what happens when the bill is actually finally drafted after finance, prior to it going to either house, sometimes there are conflicts just based on the difference between drafting and someone's original intent for a motion. So they're like amendments, but they're motions, and they're literally handed out to the co-chairs and voted on, and described the best they can by the Fiscal Bureau and any supporting evidence, but they're not actually the language of the budget bill, so there is sometimes conflict with that. But just so you know, the
it is just a language difference, but when they're in joint finance, they don't talk about amendments, they talk about motions, and any individual member that sits on the committee can offer a motion at any time.
Thank you for that clarification. One of the other motions that did pass was what we refer to as the negative debt adjustment provision, and I like to use this analogy. Some people don't like this analogy, but it's akin to having a car payment for $200 and you've now paid off the car. And you would think, oh, I'm going to have this extra $200 that I'm going to be able to use in my budget and pay for something else or save it. And under the proposed budget, not only would you not have been able to use that $200 for something else, the $200 would actually have been taken away from your budget. And this has to do with the allocation of funding for pre-2005 debt. So those communities such as and counties such as Milwaukee County that pay down their debt very rapidly were actually being penalized because they weren't going to be allowed to use that portion of monies that they paid off those debts as part of their levy monies. It was, in fact, taken away from their levying ability. And in the case of Milwaukee County, it would amount to over $20 million in 2015. So this is a significant victory for Milwaukee County.
And we'd like to thank the Wisconsin Counties Association and the Wisconsin municipalities who also worked very diligently on this item. Milwaukee County was obviously impacted the most by this provision in the governor's proposed budget, so we were pleased that we had support throughout the state to for a motion to pass in finance and garnered the support of all of the committee members.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to seek clarification. So that negative debt adjustment provision was something that was in the governor's proposed budget, and it's being removed, and that's gone to a vote.
There is a negative debt adjustment issue currently in the statutes. There was some discussion about the original intent of the law when that was placed in. There is still a negative debt adjustment, but the provision that was changed by the governor was that focused on the pre-2005 debt, which Milwaukee County obviously is aggressively paying down a lot of that debt. So the provision that the governor put in would have eliminated the exemption from the pre-2005 debt adjustment. So now the adjustment is still in there, but you are under the motion, you are still exempt from that adjustment if it's pre-2005 debt.
Okay, so Milwaukee County will continue to have an exemption.
Not specifically to Milwaukee County, but because Milwaukee County has pre-2005 debt. So it's any county or any taxing entity that is that has pre-2005 debt, it affects. It's not just Milwaukee County. But yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's clearly a statewide concern to municipalities. I think I've heard part of the reason that it's significant, perhaps more significant in Milwaukee County, is that when Walker was exec, he and the board moved to restructure our debt, and much of that pre-2005 debt was designed to be repaid in these next couple of years, and so that's why that impact is quite pronounced over the next couple of years. So
the issue also had a huge impact on the city of Brookfield.
Thank you. Other questions on that? Let's continue.
Another issue that was a motion that was passed was to exempt all nonprofit resale shops, and there is no estimate yet in terms of what that will do in terms of taking away from the tax base. There's also some question or need for clarification as to, for example, a church entity that may have a resale and it's housed in a building that's also used for other functions, how much of that is actually going to be taken off the tax rolls?
And there are several amendments that day regarding property tax exemptions. There's a rather large one in regard to outdoor advertising signs. But the implications for that, while up in the air, any implications for a shift off of the property taxes is a shift to other residents or others who are actually paying property taxes. So the it doesn't mean that you all collect less. It just means other people have to pay it if an entity is exempt from that property tax. So one of the obviously the issues with regard to the signs, and Patty can talk about it, but the city of Milwaukee brought up, is that every time you exempt something that you tax for, once that entity is exempt, that tax is still there and it shifts to another entity. So individual residents will pay slightly more for that tax.
Yeah, and on that same line, there was a motion that passed to exempt the Jewish Community Centers of North America. And specifically here in Whitefish Bay, there's a very large Jewish community center, and that will have a significant impact on, obviously, Whitefish Bay, but also the county in terms of, our tax base. As Jamie mentioned before, there was a motion that passed relative to advertising signs, and the city of Milwaukee was engaged in a lawsuit with Clear Channel that was dismissed by the courts because it was not properly filed. Clear Channels has since refiled against the city of Milwaukee, arguing whether or not how large billboard signs, outdoor advertising, should be taxed. The city of Milwaukee had gone and literally put a tax ID number on all of the outdoor large billboard signs, and the legislation the motion rather that was passed would prohibit them from doing that. And in the city of Milwaukee, they're anticipating that it's going to be about $7.5 million in tax shift because that's the amount that was currently being assessed on those signs.
And for Milwaukee County, it was a million something.
Yeah.
Do we know who sponsored that?
I apologize, I don't. Oh, Knutson. Then there was another provision that was a motion that was passed that limits the amount of if a municipality or a taxing entity creates a fee, and it's limited to refuge, snow removal, water sewer management, and there's one other provision, fire, that has to be calculated into your tax levy going forward. So obviously it curtails and limits the ability of local entities to be able to sort of creatively come up with means to fund their services that they provide to their...
And while it doesn't directly impact the county because we don't assess these fees, the counties were included in the language. It was a blanket levy limit adjustment, so it's just something that could impact the county at a later date. If counties had to go to a fee assessment, they would be restricted from, they essentially would have to lower their levy if they were going to assess a fee. So either way, in some ways, the services that would need to be provided, it would be hard to figure out how you were going to pay for those specific services that are outlined, because you couldn't assess the fee, you'd have to put them back on.
What were the fees? What the categories?
There was snow removal, garbage disposal, fire protection,
and water sewage management.
Those are four.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for example, two years ago in Franklin, we took, which I didn't support, but took the garbage out of the levy and put it as a separate fee. which you know obviously gave us flexibility with our levy, but the problem with the wanting to be able to increase the levy to what growth is you eventually have to either start cutting bodies or services. And so we've already done this in Franklin, but I think some of the municipalities...
Franklin will have to lower their levy as a result of assessing that fee.
To go back in time?
They don't have to go back prior to 2012, but they will have to lower it by what they are going to continue to assess it in the year 13 and going forward.
So any municipality that has already done that is basically has to go back? So now
as of December 12, 2012.
Yeah.
There was the original motion suggested that they actually be retroactive. They did at least correct that portion, but it still utilizes the December 2012 date.
Hmm. Well, and if you're before that, you're okay.
Yeah.
Some municipalities did it.
But obviously,
five, six years ago.
If it goes forward into 2013 and beyond, you will have to adjust that
to adjust
your levy. Originally, it was that you were going to have to go back literally and give a tax credit repayment to people who are paying.
You were going to have to lower your levy, so you would either have to adjust what you're collecting now to lower it into the future, or you would have to send it back. Obviously, like we said, that it doesn't immediately impact the county because we're not charging these or assessing these fees, but much like many of the items that are before the Finance Committee and then the budget, when the language is in there that it potentially affects the county, even if we're not doing it right now, we're working with the other stakeholders to help in any way that we can to either fix it when it gets to the floor or work with them. So
everyone can sleep at night. You would also like to know that there was a motion passed that no government entity can limit the size of your soda. There was a bill that was
the Bloomberg bill.
So there will be no Bloomberg actions here in the state of Wisconsin. You won't be able to limit the amount of food or beverage size. This was ironically, by the way, the same group that did in fact do some very significant restrictions on what you could use for food stamps. The other issue that is of potential concern has to do with a motion that was made and passed that mobile tower siting regulations and radio broadcasting service facilities. And essentially what this motion does is it provides a great deal more ability for radio towers and cell phone towers to be placed in communities because it restricts the ability of the community or the governing entity to use zoning laws to prohibit where they're placed. And ironically, at the ICC, this was the most significant issue for the village of River Hills because they were very concerned that this would have an impact. One of the things that the motion does provide is that you can't use aesthetics as the sole criteria to limit the placement of those towers.
Who sponsored that, if we may?
Plinky.
That must be a Republican, perhaps?
Yes.
It is a special interest piece of legislation.
And again, while we aren't necessarily in the business of zoning here at Milwaukee County, the language does address counties and municipalities. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Also, I'd like to just talk on the issue of residency that did, in fact, pass the Joint Finance. And at the current time, the original proposal in the governor's budget was to eliminate any residency requirement at all from being promulgated by any taxing entity or governmental unit. And the motion that came out of Joint Finance was to provide that there could be a 15-mile restriction on individuals who are in protected class, fire, police, emergency dispatchers, individuals such as that, but everyone else would be exempt from having any sort of residency. One of the huge issues that this is raising for some of our municipalities within Milwaukee County is the fact that some of them already have that you can have a, for example, 20-mile limit. And does this mean now that these individuals have to move 5 miles in so that they meet this requirement? The other is that they have, for example, if you work in the water department, they have a mile limit in terms of where you can live because of the fact that in the middle of winter, when there's a water main break, people have to be able to get there and, you know, address the water issue or any other kind of structural problem. And this would preclude them from being able to impose this, let alone enforce it. And clearly, as I put it, it makes the ring around Milwaukee County 15 miles out as the most lucrative property probably that will be coming on the market. But
question from Supervisor Broderick.
You may have answered the question, but it occurred to me to ask whether that's from the assigned workplace, the 15-mile limit, or from the municipal boundary.
Municipal boundary.
So it could be conceivably 30 or 35 or 40 miles from the workplace itself.
Right.
Thank you.
So what passed was that, obviously, in regard to Milwaukee County, is that Milwaukee County is prohibited from having a residential requirement with the exception of police and fire. There is discussion. Obviously, there are members in the Senate who, in the majority, who do not support the residency, statewide residency prohibition. We haven't heard the same from the Assembly, so there will obviously be a difference that will have to be still to be worked out. So.
Going to Alexander next, but there was a motion that deadlocked 9-9 or 8-8 or something like that, wasn't there? What version of the of residency was that?
I don't know.
Was that to repeal it? Was that to take it out altogether?
I think it was
that was
to
take it out altogether.
Yeah, take it out.
So I mean that one actually came close. Supervisor Alexander.
Supervisor Broderick asked the same question I had on my mind.
Okay.
Thank you.
Supervisor or Chairman, please.
Supervisor Dimitrievic.
Thank you. When it comes to how this impacts the county, we, you know, obviously we have public safety personnel from firefighters and deputy sheriffs. So with this motion from Joint Finance, they would be excluded, and it would be 15 miles from our Milwaukee County boundary. Is that okay? Okay. Thank you. Just want to make sure I understood that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now I need to clarify because I'm taking two things that sounded opposite. If things went through with the motion as it sits today, and that's what becomes law at the state level, then the residency requirements as it affects Milwaukee County would be lifted for everyone except police and fire do have to be within that.
Right.
15
whichever,
mile, right?
Whoever they're employed by. So the county, if you're a county worker, it would be the county boundaries. If you're a city of Milwaukee employee, it's the city boundaries.
But when we say in reference to the employees that are exempt from the residency being lifted, that exemption doesn't mean they can live wherever they want or that they have to be in the county. The exemption means they must be within 15 miles, right? Okay, it's almost like a double negative, so I'm trying to make sure.
For public service. Anybody else could live anywhere else.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, right. For fire.
Any non, in the county, any non-fire person and or deputy sheriff could live anywhere they want to. Deputy sheriffs and firefighters would have to live within 15 miles of the county border.
Is the language so specific that it's firefighters and deputy sheriffs, or
yes.
How would that affect, say, someone that's a corrections worker in the house, it doesn't. They're just, they can live wherever.
Right.
Okay.
So those were, I mean, basically I think that the theme of all of those were pretty much issues of local control in terms of the state going to put down more limitations. And as everyone knows, we already have issues with respect to the levy limit and the revenue caps and all of these other things. Another issue that is more positive, this hasn't actually had any action taken, but it...
Yeah, it didn't, because it was a modification.
Right.
Approved.
Right. It was a modification which provides that in juvenile justice, what occurs is that there was a reduction in funds, I believe 10% in the last biennium. And there was also a $17 add-on charge that was to, for the, I'm sorry, I'm going back. When we send a Milwaukee child, a Milwaukee County resident child to a state institution, we in Milwaukee County are billed a daily rate, per day rate. Under the governor's proposed budget, those rates were going to go up each year, the first year of the budget and the second year of the budget. In addition to that, the daily rate also has a $17 surcharge that's applied to it, and that's to make up for some deficits in the past. There was action taken so that the $17 rate was lowered to $16, which for Milwaukee County, just based on the fact that assuming we have 350 children who are in state institutions for the entire year, is about, you know, $130,000. So it certainly does help. In terms of that, there's been no action, though, to restore the 10%.
To youth aids.
Right.
And youth aids will come up later.
Yes.
So we will obviously be discussing with legislators the our desire to see youth aids increase to cover some of the costs as a result of the cuts from the previous budget.
Another issue is the fact that, as you've all heard, there was a significant increase in the projected revenue for the state, and there's of course discussion as to how that should be used and whether or not it, you know, should be put into the budget, should it be, you know, put into a rainy day fund, etc. So obviously that's going to have a significant impact in terms of, you know, the budget piece playing out. On the federal level, the Senate passed what is known as the Marketplace Fairness Act, and this is a provision whereby internet sales are subject to state income tax. And this is something that the National Association of Counties was very, very strong in supporting, and it finally passed. And I don't know the estimates yet in terms of what that would mean for collection of sales tax, either in terms of the state or in Milwaukee County, but it certainly is going to be something that is going to add to the collection of income tax. The other issue that we are monitoring that the sheriff is involved in is a provision which would, in the instance of an eviction, right now in Milwaukee County, the sheriff is there present when there is an eviction, basically to make sure that things go smoothly, that there aren't, you know, conflicts. Sometimes they, in the process, are able to discover drugs, guns that shouldn't be there. There's a provision that's been introduced that would allow a landlord to go and do an eviction without the sheriff present. And the sheriff's office is quite concerned that, particularly in an urban setting, that that would have, you know, some pretty significant ramifications.
Correct.
So if there's any other questions, you got more to add?
Sorry, that last one, where is it at?
It's
a bill.
Yeah,
it's a committee, no votes yet?
No, it wasn't voted on.
It was voted on the floor?
On the floor.
Yeah.
The assembly.
And the sponsor?
I don't know that one. It's Assembly Bill 183 and Senate Bill 179. And I apologize, I don't know who.
Okay.
So next week in finance, we're going to be taking up child support. We'll also be dealing with several justice issues, treatment and other district attorney issues. So we are hopeful that we will actually get replaced on child support funding cuts, which would be obviously a greater impact to Milwaukee County than any other county. So we're working on that with child support administrator and others on the committee and the county's association. And obviously, in light of recent windfalls, we are talking more seriously with members of the finance on transit. So stay tuned.
Okay. I can just add that there was one motion that did pass, I believe that was April 30th, that would decrease the CMAQ funding by $900,000. So hopefully, that's CMAQ is a very key piece of funding that we use to support the transit system and to offset other funds that were cut in the state budget last year by 10%. And so we're looking.
There are different kinds of CMAQ funds, so we have to figure out whether or not this is part of the funding we already receive, a part of the program that we already receive funding through, or part of the program that we don't receive funding through.
The motion was to move it out of transit and use it for some other
congestion
mitigation?
It was a reduction. Just a general reduction.
But they don't know that it was what impact cost.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Editorials?
I have a couple, but I'll withhold them.
Very good. Supervisor Roma West.
I just had a really quick question on the juvenile detentions. Was there any discussion about maybe broadening the ability for Milwaukee County or counties to keep these kids within Milwaukee County?
Yeah, this was just literally a fiscal piece.
Okay.
It was just the daily rate, and because it was drafted in a modification form, we weren't really taking up the whole issue. It just happened to be there's a statutory formula that now addresses the daily rate in relation to the $17 add-on.
Okay.
And so they were just making a modification based on the fact that the appropriation is not in deficit at the same level that they predicted previously.
Well, I think it's worthy of having the conversation. I'll probably be working on something maybe for next cycle, because we currently do have the Milwaukee County Accountability Program, which members of the Health and Human Needs Committee are already aware of, where we're doing a pilot program. We had 12 young men start with us November, so we've already had a couple of them actually complete that program. And that gives us the ability to keep them within Milwaukee County and not send them to a state institution. And so we're looking forward to, I think we're going to, in July, receive our first report on, again, the young men that have already graduated, if you will, from that program. And hopefully we're going to have good success with that and be able to expand that program. But I know the state, I believe, gave us the ability to only do 12. And so hopefully we'll be looking to expand those numbers and get accommodations accordingly, especially if we can save money. It was estimated, I think, that we would save $180,000 this year. And that was a very that came from Alex. So that was a very, a very low estimate, because they didn't want to over, get our expectations up.
What,
so I think
it would actually, the previous number was that was requested in previous bienniums, because we obviously received 12, and I think that was in, that was not the last biennium, but the one before that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the request would be, the number would be?
The number? Well, right now we're at 12, so I don't know, I'd like to maybe double that number.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. Is this the expansion of our ability to keep the kids up to 180 days.
Yes.
That was granted last.
Last biennium.
Last biennium, I believe.
Yeah.
But you're saying it was only a pilot? We were only able to do that on a limited number?
Yes.
Oh, I thought we were given broad authority.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyways, by December we should have all of those figures in place, and then again by December we'll have had all of these young men through and we'll be able to know what kind of success we've had with them. And so
do you know if there's anyone like on a waiting list or is that
there any, is
if you could get us that we could.
Okay, perfect, we'll do.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Any other items? Okay. Any other questions?
I have a
editorial
question. Do you think that having what we think of as the public designated as a special interest group might foster more bipartisan support to meet public needs?
Is that rhetorical?
Yeah, that's
rhetorical. You wouldn't force them to answer that, would you?
Ms. Chuck would like to, I think.
Maybe privately. Very good. Thank you. With that, I think there's nothing further on item 2. Call item 3, please.